Welcome to the Tracy Sandler Show, brought to you by Fevo. We have been on hiatus the last couple of weeks. I don't know if you can count 2 weeks as a hiatus, but I got some vacation in, which was amazing. But now we are back, and I am so excited to welcome back to the show Blake Harris, our resident Dodgers expert. Blake, welcome to the show. Much to discuss about our boys in blue.
Yeah, it's a fun episode when it seems like the sky's falling with the Dodgers, but they still have like a 7.5 game lead in the division. So it's a really, really interesting time right now for the boys in blue. So I'm looking forward to talking about everything going on with this team right now with you, Tracy.
Well, let's start by talking about pitching. And I will tell our listeners, we are recording this Wednesday. We don't know how the next two games against the Phillies are going to go, though I kind of have a pretty good idea, but we shall see. And we're recording it Wednesday. Obviously, the episode comes out Friday, but pitching has been an issue. Is it my imagination, first of all, or every year does this team have so many pitching injuries? It is bizarre.
Yeah, hopefully by the time this goes live on Friday, there's not like another player that's just somehow on the injured list or is being optioned, because that's what it seems like is happening every day. But yeah, I don't know if there's like some tracker out there or someone out there that has time can like do the numbers and do some extensive research, because the Dodgers pitching staff on a year-to-year basis, it just seems unbelievable at this point how many guys are going down. I mean, it seems like every season they're setting a franchise record with how many pitchers they've used, how many starters they've used, how many random guys are being added to the 40-man. So yeah, the Dodgers, the good thing is they're able to add a lot of talented pitchers to AAA and bring them up to the 40-man at different parts in the year. But yeah, this is getting really ridiculous with all the injuries and all the different names we're seeing on a week-to-week basis.
So at the moment, Clayton Kershaw is rehabbing. Things were going well, but then there was some shoulder soreness, so things are not going well. We'll see when he resumes. Do you know when he resumes his rehab start? Because I've actually been on vacation out of the country and I don't know when he resumes his next rehab start.
It does sound like within the next week he's expected to make another rehab start. So that's definitely a positive step, because yeah, I thought, you know, this could be potentially late July, early August we might see him again. But yeah, it does sound like if all things go according to plan, we'll see him in the next couple of days.
BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. From baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. Bet online. The game starts here. We have Walker Buehler on the IL. Walker Buehler came back, and you know, in fairness to Walker Buehler, he had not pitched in 2 years and underwent his second surgery, but certainly was not the Walker Buehler we saw before, which may have been an unrealistic expectation and probably was. But I think we did hope that Walker Buehler would be very good for five innings. And that we haven't really seen yet, except for, I believe, one game. So he's on the IL now with, I believe, a hamstring issue. But there's got to be concern among the Dodgers, because if he's not going to be able to give them five good innings, they got to make some moves.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of us were not expecting Walker Buehler to be like the Cy Young caliber pitcher that he was a couple years ago. We were all expecting him, if he can come out and, like you said, give him five innings, be like a solid number three, number four starter, that would be more than okay. But he just wasn't anything like that. He was horrible in the starts that, you know, he did give the Dodgers. And yeah, the latest report, this came out like an hour ago from Philadelphia, they said that he's somewhere in Florida right now, rehabbing and working on some things. So I don't know what's going on in Florida, but apparently he wanted to be there to work through whatever he's going through, not Camelback Ranch. So yeah, Walker Buehler, he's in Florida, and I don't, like with Kershaw, I have no idea when we're going to see him next either.
Tyler Glasnow is on the IL with back soreness. He had been pitching at an incredibly high level, like an ace. He's going to he's been picked as an all-star. And we can talk more about the all-stars a little bit later. But you know, now he's not, the last two starts have not been good at all. And perhaps it has been the back soreness. So he's now on IL with back soreness, expected back after the All-Star break. So it just, they've got a lot of problems. Bobby Miller has been sent back down to AAA. And of course, Yoshinobu Yamamoto is currently injured. So, I mean, I don't even know who is going to pitch for this team in the next few days.
I was trying to figure that out. I was like, who's left in the starting rotation? Because I was trying to list the five the other day, and I was like, I don't know who's left. I mean, you got Gavin Stone, you got James Paxton. I guess Landon Knack is going to stay. Justin Robleski, he's probably going to stay. And I guess at this point, whoever's next guy up in AAA, come on down, because it really seems like the Dodgers are on, like, what, their 12th or their 13th starter in the rotation. I mean, again, it's really incredible how many hits this rotation is dealing with at the moment, which, again, like I said at the beginning of the show, is just insane that this team is somehow 7.5 games in first place.
The only bright spot I'm trying to think about is that, you know, we've seen this team over the last few years just dominate the regular season, absolutely dominate, and then fall so flat in the playoffs. So perhaps, I know they have a 7-game lead, but perhaps dealing with some of this adversity and perhaps having to play some meaningful baseball late into the end of the season will be a benefit to them. I guess the other silver lining, if we can call it that, is this is all happening before the trade deadline. So at least it gives them some time to figure out what they need to do, because I think a lot of us felt like they would need to add another bat at the trade deadline, but they're going to need a pitcher or two.
Yeah, I think at this point they might even need three pitchers because of how these arms are falling off. But I like what you just said. It's a good thing this is all happening kind of like right before the trade deadline, and having that cushion in the division, I think, is beneficial because it allows them to, you know, try things out, give guys some opportunities, because if they were 3 or 4 games, you know, behind the Padres, I don't know if they're giving these rookies all these opportunities or they're giving Chris Taylor, you know, all these different chances. So hopefully the Dodgers can see this sample size of, you know, the last, I want to say, 6 weeks of how they've really struggled, and they can really go ahead in the trade deadline and address all the different positions of need. But like you said, give me a couple starters, give me a couple bats, give me a couple relievers, and why don't you get in a couple of hot dog vendors as well, because it sounds like they need to rehaul everything.
I mean, they need a lot, which is saying something for a team that has Shohei Ohtani and Freddie Freeman and Will Smith and Mookie Betts. Now, Mookie Betts, as long as we're talking about injuries, another all-star. Mookie Betts, at this point, it feels like he'll be back, if I'm trying to think my math is correct. He got hurt on Father's Day, so, and it was 6 to 8 weeks, so he should be back in, what, 3 to 5?
I think something like that. There was something the other day about how he's like progressing, you know, right on time. So yeah, I want to say based on that 6 to 8 week estimate they gave, I think, yeah, maybe like early, mid-ish August, if my ASU math is calculating that right. It's too difficult, Tracy.
I want to say it's correct, but you know what I'm going to go ahead and do, everybody, because we have the technology to do it. I'm going to look at Father's Day. So we are 1, 2, 3. Yep, we're about 3 to 5 weeks, which is actually was really good news, because when Mookie Betts first went down with that injury, it looked very bad. And it was very bad, but it looked potentially season ending.
Yeah, I immediately assumed worst case scenario and he's done for the year. So when they came back and said, oh yeah, 6 to 8 weeks, I was like, oh, that is fantastic news, which it's not great news. But, you know, all things considered and how bad it could have been, the fact that they can get him back a month from now, that's fantastic news.
So aside from potentially three pitchers at the trade deadline, more realistically, perhaps they trade for two if they need to add another bat. Who do you like for that? What position do you think is most important? Is it shortstop and you move Mookie back to second base? Do they try to trade Gavin Lux? I mean, is the Gavin Lux experiment, is it time to move on from it? What are your thoughts on that?
It's so tough because it's like you could ask 10 different Dodgers fans and they would each give you a different answer as to what they think the biggest need is. I think as of today, the biggest need has to be a starting pitcher, but yes, I definitely think they can add another bat as well. Now, I did think shortstop was the biggest need, but based on how things are looking now, that doesn't look like there's too many good shortstops out there. I was all in on Bo Bichette. I thought he would be a fantastic piece, but his numbers, I saw a tweet yesterday, I think, that he has the exact same OPS this year as Kevin Biggio. Oh. So I don't know if we want two Kevin Biggios in the starting lineups, so maybe not Gavin Lux, but if I'm Andrew Friedman, I'm picking up the phone, I'm calling the White Sox, and I'm asking for Garrett Crochet and Luis Robert Jr. Crochet is probably going to be the best starting pitcher that's available ahead of the trade deadline. He has a couple years of control left. He's pitching like a Cy Young caliber starter. And Luis Robert, I know he's dealt with injuries over the last couple of years, but when he's fully healthy, he's proven to be one of the better players in all of baseball. He's won a Gold Glove in center field, and offensively, he has 40 home run potential. So that would be the main move that I would do if I was Andrew Friedman, because you really knock out two stones right there.
Yeah, I think that you're right. And that would help things dramatically. And then, of course, they will get Mookie Betts back. And eventually, in theory, they're going to get Max Muncy back. So that injury is taking a very, very long time. I know he's been really frustrated with it. The Dodgers would like him back sooner than later. And it's interesting because this, I think, is going to sound really obvious, but I'm going to go ahead and say it anyways. You know, with each of these bats out, it does make a difference for everybody else. And it does change things dramatically. And all of a sudden, somebody who maybe was batting really well behind Max Muncy now isn't batting so great because he does have Max Muncy. And so there's such a snowball effect in not having Max Muncy and not having Mookie Betts. And I know Max Muncy sometimes has struggled defensively, but offensively, if memory serves, I feel like he hasn't played in quite some time, he was having a pretty decent season, and he's an important part of this roster.
Yeah, I don't think any of us, you know, really appreciated Max Muncy enough, you know, for all he's done, because it seems like the second he went down is kind of when this spiral began. Obviously, once Mookie Betts went down, it got even worse, but it really all started once Max Muncy went down, because like you said, normally you have a Teoscar Hernandez who's hitting sixth in your lineup. Well, now he has to hit second. You have rookie Andy Páez, where when he came up, he was hitting like eighth or ninth, and I think tonight he's hitting cleanup. So you have all these guys that are having to slide way, way up in the lineup and be relied upon to be those guys that deliver runs when that just wasn't, you know, expected out of them. So yeah, these injuries, you know, obviously you miss their production, but then you're asking for so much more out of guys that you weren't necessarily asking for. And it just goes to show that the depth wasn't really all that good this year, because you have, you know, Gavin Lux, Kiki Hernandez, Miguel Rojas, who has been great this year, but they weren't expecting him to get so many starts. They're having to play much more than expected. And, you know, they're not providing them as much value as you would have liked.
So there are two people I want to talk about. Gavin Lux is one of them. And the other one is Chris Taylor. And though Chris Taylor, as of late, has been better.
Yeah, much better.
But he's been better. But, you know, I think it's so hard. And obviously, as a fan, it's hard when you look at players that have meant so much to our organization. Like Chris Taylor's a perfect example. That one and done game a few years ago, that, you know, game-winning home run. I'll never forget that ever. I was there and it was incredible. He was an all-star. He's been tremendous for this team. But at a certain point, do you have to accept that it's just not there for those guys anymore and move on, even though it breaks my heart to say that?
Right. Yeah. First off, I'm very jealous that you got to be at the Chris Taylor game, because what a game to be at. But I'll start with Chris Taylor. I know a lot of people all season, you know, as the struggles were happening, were calling for him to be DFA'd, which that's a tough pill to swallow because of how much money he's owed. And also, you know, he's a Dodger legend. But I think the reason why Chris Taylor is still so valuable to this Dodger team is because of his defensive versatility. I mean, we've seen it this year. You could put him at third base, shortstop, second base, and you could put him in left field as well. So I do think there is value in that, which is why I'm still, you know, although he's been heating up at the plate lately, the last couple of weeks, he's been great. That's why I was never really like on the DFA train, because there is that value in having a guy that can play everywhere defensively. I am very, very worried and concerned with Gavin Lux, because it's been a large enough sample size now. I tweeted this yesterday, but among all the players in baseball with 260 plate appearances, I believe there was 179 of them, he has the lowest OPS and the lowest OPS plus in baseball. So based on that, that means he's been the worst hitter. Now, luckily defensively, he's been really good at second base. But yeah, Gavin Lux, they just haven't seen what they would have liked to see out of him. I know he's recovering from that awful injury last year, but he hasn't really shown any signs of anything this year. I think he has one home run, which barely got over the wall. He's not hitting for power. He's not drawing walks. He's not really doing a whole lot. And like with Chris Taylor, like I just mentioned, at least he provides you defensive versatility. Whereas Gavin Lux, you can only play him at second base, which kind of hurts the Dodgers. So there isn't really anyone that can replace him at the moment. I mean, I don't know if you want to be given Kiki Hernandez every day at bats, because, you know, you're not really going to be getting that much more production. But I am bummed with Gavin Lux, because he earned the starting shortstop gig last year. The injury was horrible. You fell for him. I can't even imagine having to come back from a torn ACL, how hard that must be. But he just looks awful to play. And like I said, he has been the worst hitter in all of baseball from a number standpoint. So I don't know what the Dodgers do with him. I don't know if he has any trade value left at this point. Maybe if there's like a bigger deal, he can be the fourth or fifth piece, and maybe a change of scenery could be good for him. But it's just really bad at this point. And there are times he just looks lost, and he just looks like he's not going to give the Dodgers any production. Now, he could turn things around in the second half, but based on what we've seen this year and pretty much what we've seen for majority of his career, I just think this is the kind of player he's going to be moving forward.
Well, I think that's the thing. I think you look like someone like a Chris Taylor, for instance, since we were talking about him, and you look at what he's been like in his career and what he's done. And he has been batting much better the last couple of weeks. So maybe you could say, okay, with a Chris Taylor, obviously, like you said, defensively, he's so important to the Dodgers. He has so much versatility. And he's a guy that maybe could heat up in the second half. Gavin Lux, when you look at his career, unfortunately, there's nothing that tells you that he could heat up in the second half. And of course, he had the injury last year, which was awful. But I do wonder if a change of scenery would be good for him. I think you're right. The trade value would have to be part of a bigger deal. But I would be very surprised if he's still on the Dodgers past the trade deadline, because it could be prospects and Gavin Lux to a team that could use a second baseman who could play every day, you know, a defensive player.
Right.
I think is probably their best bet. And obviously a team not contending, but it's too bad because there was so much potential. And he's very young and the potential could continue. I just think for LA, it's time to maybe move on. And, you know, I think I say that because I think with my guy Cody Bellinger, they felt at that point they weren't going to re-sign him, certainly not to the money he was asking for. And it had been a couple of bad years and it was time to move on. And I think with Gavin Lux, that's the same. If they want to bring Cody back, though, I won't be mad.
I did have to refrain myself from when you asked me about my number one trade target. I did, you know, I really wanted to say, well, obviously, it's got to be Cody Bellinger.
Obviously.
But that contract is a little worrisome for me just because it's a couple years and I don't think the Dodgers want to go down that road. But hey, I'd still be down. If they want to make it happen, I'm on board.
I mean, I don't know. Last time this team had Kike and Cody and Mookie, they won a World Series. That's all I'm saying. So,
hey, stranger things have happened. Run it back.
Run it back. Kike is an interesting player, too, because I do feel like every time he is on the field, I hold my breath. Like, there is one play always where I'm like, Kike is going to drive me to a very early grave. But then he'll, like, come up and hit a grand slam. I mean, I love Kike, and he is also a Dodger legend, but he's such an interesting player in that way.
Yeah, I mean, my girlfriend is probably the biggest Kike fan you'll find. So in this household, we stand Kike Hernandez. But yeah, the good thing with Kike, and I think this is why a lot of Dodgers fans...
I would like to say I love Kike. He's one of my favorite players.
I do as well. Now, obviously, his production has not been there this year. He's been, I think, having one of the worst years of his career. But at least the good thing with him, like we kind of talked about with Chris Taylor, he still is able to provide that defensive versatility where he can play him anywhere. And he's not an everyday bat. I think that's the reason why the Gavin Lux struggles have been kind of the worst, because he's your everyday second baseman. You're having to start him most days, whereas Kike, I mean, I think he's getting one, maybe two starts a week. So it would be nice if he was giving you some production, you know, a little upgrade of what he's giving you now. But for a guy that's playing for, I think, $2 or $3 million, and again, that's getting one or two starts, it's passable. But yeah, I still love me some Kike. And I love how last night when he came in to pitch, they were saying on the broadcast, yeah, we can't show his windup right now because there are probably children watching. So I can only imagine what exactly he was doing out there on the mound when he was warming up. Yeah, every team needs a guy like that.
Though during the Yankee series, I mean, there were, I think every game I was like, this man is going to drive me to an early grave. There was some some error. And then, of course, there was the error while he was talking to the broadcast, which seems to be an issue for everyone all season long and maybe something they want to rethink. But
right.
I do absolutely love Kike Hernandez. Someone else I'd like to talk about, and it's going to lead me to someone else. Miguel Vargas, you know, he came up to a lot of hoopla, for lack of a better term. Last year, they had to send him back down. It was good for him. He's come back. He's played really well. Can they get him to be playing more? Can he be an everyday starter? And why isn't he with the production he's been having?
Yeah, I guess it just has to be his defense really is that bad. Now, we've seen him in left field. He doesn't look like a natural out there, but he is still learning the position. But he came up, you know, through the minors as a third baseman. And I guess the Dodgers, just what the advanced metrics say or what they saw, you know, firsthand, they just don't trust him anywhere in the infield defensively. So when the only position you can play is left field, and with the Dodgers having, you know, five or six guys that can play left field, the opportunities aren't necessarily going to be there. Now, with the Jason Hayward injury, it does look like he's going to be getting a couple more starts, which is great because he's had one of the better bats in the lineup these last couple of weeks. So yeah, hopefully they're able to get him in there a little more often. And with a 7.5 game lead in the division, I don't care if he looks like me out there at third base. Get him out there, you know, get That's him more reps.
Say. With yeah, the I mean, same thing we were saying about the rookie pitchers.
Yeah. Just get him the reps. I mean, what's the worst they can have? And now, obviously, if he has a game where he has like three or four errors, maybe they have to say, okay, we're not doing this again. But I mean, you'd have to think he's at least serviceable out there. But again, these guys are paid the big bucks. They know a lot more than we do. So maybe they know that he just can't play there at all. But you got to figure out any way to get his bat in the lineup. I mean, a couple of years ago, remember they were getting Gavin Lux reps, I think, in left field. They were getting him reps at third base. He like crashed into the wall at Dodger Stadium that one time. So
They've
tried with other guys to put him in different positions. Hopefully they do that with Miguel Vargas.
So James Outman's back up. Such an interesting player as well. Had an incredible April of his rookie season. Then never really got back to that. He was sent down. He's back up. I wonder if he's going to be able to kind of get it back together.
Yeah, it's kind of tough because he looked so good last year. I mean, he was so good last year for the Dodgers. I think he finished third in Rookie of the Year voting. But yeah, this year has been entirely different. He just looks like a completely different hitter. His numbers have been even worse than Kike, even worse than Gavin Lux. So I'm not sure what changed over the course of, you know, the offseason where he just doesn't look like he knows how to hit anymore. So hopefully James Outman can figure some things out. I know they sent him down to Oklahoma City for about a month, month and a half. And he had spurts there where he looked really good, but there are also some spurts where he did look lost at the plate. So I hope that James Outman's able to turn things around because he looked like he was going to be the replacement to Cody Bellinger. He was the reason the Dodgers were willing to let Cody Bellinger walk because they had a guy that defensively is just as good as Cody and offensively had a lot of upside as well. But with him, you know, pretty much unplayable at the plate. I know Andy Páez isn't great defensively in center field. It's kind of an issue for the Dodgers because of James Outman's struggles so far this year. So again, I think he's only had a couple of games up since being called back up. So hopefully if he's given another week or two, he can slowly start to turn things around at the plate.
It is interesting how that happens to a person though. And baseball is such a weird sport that he could have been so good and playing so well. I mean, we saw it with Cody Bellinger. This was the rookie of the year. He had an MVP season. He was an MVP. He was incredible. And then it just kind of fell off. And you do wonder what happened. I think, first of all, these guys are human. So things are obviously happening in people's lives that we don't know about. So who knows? I mean, I have no idea, but that's always a possibility. But it's interesting how that can happen to someone and how they can just be such a different player, especially a different hitter. And I do think hitting is probably the hardest thing to do in sports, but it's just incredible to me how that happened to someone. And he was supposed to be the heir apparent to Cody Bellinger. And this just tells me they should have never gotten rid of Cody Bellinger, but I could have said that then, except that I actually think the change of scenery, talk about a change of scenery for Gavin Lux. I think a change of scenery for Cody Bellinger was really good. And Cody Bellinger is not having the season he had last year, but he's hitting a lot better than some of these other guys.
So. Yeah, I mean, he's having a down year, you know, based on what he did last year. But his numbers, you would gladly take those in the Dodgers lineup compared to some of the guys they're throwing out there.
Yes, and we know defensively he is a star. So I'm just going to continually throw this out there and try to manifest it until they bring him back.
It worked with my girlfriend getting Kike and Joe Kelly back. Those were her two loves of her life. So hey, she manifested it. So as long as you just go to bed every night and pray to the Dodger gods to get Cody back, it can happen.
I like it. And when I said earlier, the last team that had Mookie, Cody and Kike won a World Series. Joe Kelly was on that team too. Let's bring everyone back together again.
Yeah, one by one, one at a time, make it happen. And we'll win again, hopefully.
I like that. They will. I do think there's something to be said. Like I said earlier, I don't hate that they're going through all this. I mean, the injuries are really hard, obviously, but this is a team that's kind of cruised in the past few years. And I do think one of the reasons that they have lost so early in the playoffs last year, I think they were hitting so way above their weight class in the regular season. They were not supposed to be that good, and they just were really good. And some of the other teams were really bad. I never expect them to do much in the playoffs, and their early exit didn't surprise me at all, especially with how things were going toward the end. But I think they need to be playing some meaningful baseball in that last month of the season. Even if they win the division, which they probably will, and they get the bye, and I hate the bye because I think it takes you out of your rhythm, but they get the bye. If they're playing meaningful baseball, even if they only have a 3 or 4 game lead towards the end of the season, they're going to have to play some meaningful baseball. And I think that's actually really important for them. Now, they may not ever let go of the 7-game lead, but I think it's important for them to struggle a little and get through it. And maybe that's silly of me, but I do really believe that.
Yeah, the funny thing is, it seems like how they're having this struggle like over the last 40 games or whatever, it just seems like they're consistently staying at 7 or 8 games because every other team in the NL West is also struggling. So it's like the Dodgers, it's like, oh, they lost again. Well, 3 of the other teams in the NL West lost. But I've been kind of joking about this all year, pretty much once they were eliminated up until now. I'm tired of the 100-110 win seasons. Give me like a 91 win Dodgers team that just gets hot in October and goes on the run. Yes. Give me that team, like you said, that doesn't necessarily run away with the division. They're not playing like with a 1-game lead, but you know, with a couple weeks left in the season, like you said, have a 4, have a 5-game lead where you're still probably going to win the division, but you kind of have to make sure you win every night. Where in previous years, by like September 1st, they have like a 25-game lead in the division. So maybe something like that could be good for this team.
100%. And I know they're not going to lose games on purpose to make it happen, but with the things that they're dealing with, I think it's good for them and it's important for them. But we're going to now talk about, we're going to end this. Well, we're going to end two things. First of all, the Dodgers have 6 players that are on the All-Star team. They obviously, Mookie's not going to be able to play, and Tyler Glasnow, I'm assuming, is not going to pitch since he's on the IL. But you have Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, Tyler Glasnow, which is his first All-Star nod, Shohei Ohtani, Teoscar Hernandez, and who am I missing? I'm missing one.
Boy.
Freddie,
Mookie, Glasnow, Teoscar, Will Smith. Did you say Will Smith?
Will Smith.
There
Will
you
Smith
go.
Our 6. There. Wait, yes, Will. Yes, Will Smith. So that's very good news. It's exciting for the Dodgers, 6 All-Stars. And 2 of those guys are the guys I want to end the podcast talking about. And they are, of course, Shohei Ohtani and Teoscar Hernandez, who, first of all, their friendship, I love. I just think it's just amazing that they've become these like very close friends. And I know I think they've been friends for a while, but now being on the same team, Shohei Ohtani has been everything as advertised and more, in my opinion. He's just been absolutely incredible. And then Teoscar Hernandez is the low-key best signing of the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, you hit it with Shohei. It's like, he's incredible. Like, you knew he was going to be good, but he somehow exceeded expectations, which just seems remarkable. Like, he might just mess around and win an MVP again. But Teoscar Hernandez, yeah, what a signing he's been, because I know his numbers aren't like Shohei's. They're not like Mookie's. They're not like Freddie's. But can you imagine where the Dodgers would be if they didn't have Teoscar Hernandez? I mean, I don't know who the next outfielder would be that would be playing, because he plays every single day. He's given them fantastic production. I think he is like top 5 in all of base, or in like the National League in RBIs. I mean, he's always bringing guys in. And defensively, he's more than serviceable out there. So obviously, Shohei has been like the best signing by far of the offseason. But you can make the case that Teoscar has been the most viable, because again, without him playing outfield every day, I don't even want to think about who else would be playing outfield every day. I guess it'd be Chris Taylor and Kike Hernandez would be getting everyday reps out there.
And because Shohei, obviously, of course, is the best signing, but it's like, you knew Shohei was going to be the best. You know, Teoscar is one that it's like, maybe that wasn't so obvious. And he's so incredibly clutch that I just absolutely love him. So that's our good news. The good news also is that the Dodgers have Freddie Freeman in a few weeks, Mookie Betts back, Shohei Ohtani, Will Smith, Teoscar Hernandez, Tyler Glasnow when he gets healthy again, Yamamoto when he gets healthy again. You know, so there, it's not all doom and gloom. It's just been a lot of injuries over these last few weeks. And it's certainly, there are many teams who would love to be in the Dodgers position. But you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with the trade deadline. I can't believe we're already just a few days away from the All-Star break. But the season, in some ways, it feels like the season's gone fast. And in some ways, it feels like the season's been going on for 6 years.
I totally agree. It's like you look at the calendar and you're like, how the heck are we already halfway through July? Like, how's it already the All-Star break? And then you're just like, man, I feel like the Dodgers have just been struggling. They've been playing horribly for the last couple of months or so when, again, it's only been like 3 or 4 weeks, but that's baseball for you. It's like you love it, you hate it. It's like, I'm so sick of this. But then whenever there's a day off, you're like, what am I supposed to do with my time? I need a Dodgers game today. So that's the love and the hatred of baseball all in one.
The few weeks ago when they played the Angels on a Friday and a Saturday and then they didn't play on Sunday, I was so confused and I did not like it.
Yeah, like a Sunday without baseball? Like, what are we doing, schedule makers?
Yeah,
I need a Dodger game on Sunday.
Yeah, I didn't like that one bit. Well, Blake, we'll see where we are. We'll have you come back on for the playoffs. That's me manifesting. Obviously, they're going to go to the playoffs, but I'm going to have you come back on deep into the playoffs. That's my manifesting right there. But in the meantime, please let everyone know where they can find you and your incredible Dodgers coverage.
Also, we just got a bit of breaking news. Oscar just announced that he'll be doing the Home Run Derby.
Oh, fun!
So I now we have a Dodger to watch.
Well, I'll be watching him for sure in the Home Run Derby. That's excellent news. I love that. Yay!
That's a great way to sign off. But if you guys want to find me, you can find me on Twitter or X or whatever they're calling it nowadays, at Blake H. Harris. I'm always tweeting about the Dodgers over there. So if you want to hit me up, interact with me, talk some Dodgers, you can find me there. And you guys can also read all of my articles over on my Substack, blakeharris.substack.com.
Fantastic. You guys can find me on Twitter or X at Tracy FGSN, on Instagram at Tracy Sandler. We are brought to you by Bet Online. We are brought to you by FIVO. 49ers fans, don't worry. We'll be getting back into 49ers content next week. I appreciate you guys dealing with the Dodgers because I know for the Giants fans, it's not your favorite. But if you guys like what you heard, and I know that you did, please make sure to give us a 5-star rating and a super positive review. And with that, I'll talk to everybody next time. Bye, all.